Live from State Street in the heart of Chicago, you are listening to the new home of the Chicago Bears, ESPN Chicago. And this is Waddle and Sylvie, WMVP, WSHE, HD2, Chicago, a Good Karma Brands radio station.
Snap back to Fields. Fields looking, now throwing. Got open man, DJ Moore, end zone, touchdown! Touchdown Bears! Gonna throw, left side of the end zone, up in the air, contested catch, touchdown DJ Moore! 11-yard touchdown out of beauty from Fields, left corner of the end zone in tight coverage. Awaiting the snap, Justin Fields, moving off the left side, free play for Justin, worked it down the left side. He's got DJ Moore at the five, looping into the end zone for the touchdown! Touchdown Bears, and they're back in front. Fields looking, going to keep it at 10 to the 5, to the end zone, touchdown! Touchdown Bears, and a juicy 7 for QB1. Play fake, Fields looking to throw, going to run left, being chased by Garda. It's all Fields, you can't catch him, he's in for the touchdown! Touchdown Bears! Snap to Fields, backing up as he's looking to throw. Now he's going to take off again. Sliding and gliding by defenders to the 40, to the 30, to the 20. On our feet, first slide inside the 15-yard line. QB1. Aggravating the Arizona Cardinals. Three receivers left, snap Fields. Looking, Fields dancing, Fields throwing. Deep corner of the end zone. The pass is caught. Caught by DJ Moore for the touchdown. Fields with Taylor motioning left and back to the right. Takes the snap up the middle on the delay. Fields twisting left to the five, to the pylon. Puts the ball on the orange and into the paint. Touchdown Bears. Fields empties it out. Three left, two right. The pressure in his face. He is gobbled up. Slips away. Spinning. Breaks a tackle. Now running to the 25. Right to the 35. To the 40. And a first down. Houdini in big, bold letters. How he avoided getting sacked twice, only he knows. 18-yard scramble. Wow. Justin Fields with a 106 quarterback rating from the 41. Takes the snap. Pocket starting to collapse. He has nowhere to go, but finds a way out. Runs right to the 40, 35, and he muscles through two to get a first down. And they're on their feet at Soldier.
That's right. Looking back at the Justin Fields 3 years here in Chicago, it is over now as he was traded to the Pittsburgh Steelers for a conditional 6th-round pick. Ryan Poles did make the trade over the weekend. If he plays more than half the snaps for the Steelers, the Bears will get a 4th-round pick. And just like that, you go from the optimism of the trade-up to the number 11 pick when it was Nagy and Pace, to the rebuild, and now he's gone. The highlights, amazing. The hope was always there. But the production, for several reasons, and it's always a nuanced conversation, just never quite matched all that hope and those highlights. 332-3776. Want to hear from you on the trade and your thoughts on the 3 years of Justin Fields, the highs and the lows, what you thought they got for him. It was one of the biggest debates in Chicago for the last several months, going all the way back to the season. Like a lot of people have said, well, for the last 4 to 6 to 8 weeks, this goes all the way back really throughout the season for me. I mean, this has been a debate as we've known that this Carolina pick could really turn out to be a top three pick and that the Bears could get another quarterback here. And that's when the conversation sort of changed and the possibility of drafting a quarterback really became possible.
Well, this was not Ryan Poles' selection. So this was projected to be as the season wore on and then the projection became reality. This is his signature move. This will be his signature move as the general manager of the Chicago Bears. And that's drafting a quarterback first overall, first pick in the draft for consecutive seasons. We were talking about it, Tyler and I, or they were going through it. I don't remember. I think you have to go back to Andrew Luck to find a situation where a team with the first overall selection has as positive or enticing a landing spot for that first overall pick, it goes back to, it's got to go back to Andrew Luck. People say, well, you traded up to get, the Rams traded up to get Jared Goff. That team wasn't nearly as loaded as that Andrew Luck team, or it wasn't nearly as put together, I don't think, as this Bears team. So this is a really good landing spot for Caleb Williams if he is their pick.
The Rams were a 7-win team, but they probably didn't have the talent. The reason why the Colts were so bad is because Peyton Manning missed the whole year with the neck injury.
Right.
And then instead of electing to hope that Manning would get back to what he was, they just elected to reset with Andrew Luck, who again was this great college quarterback, and then they had to make the hard choice of trading Peyton Manning.
Fan base divided. It's been that way now for quite some time. This was not a surprise to most or to many. I'll just speak for me. This was not a surprise. I thought ultimately this was going to be the decision that was made. Many clinged to the thought that this was all just some grand head fake. People kept telling us at times, "Well, you guys just don't get it. They were never going to trade him." And I would respectfully either just not respond or say, I just disagree. I think that they are going to move.
That's what was like so weird about it is these people were so sure. Yeah. And we've always been, look, anything's possible here. We think this is what's going to happen. We're not positive. Anything's possible, but a lot of these loud people were so sure that, no, they're keeping it, guys. You're idiots. You're stupid. You don't see it. Your football knowledge is nothing. And, like, the people there were so sure, and I just don't understand what fueled that.
Sure and belligerent. That's a weird combination.
And it's wrong on both aspects because you were factually wrong and you acted wrong.
Yeah. And the end of the day wasn't a surprise to me. I feel about Justin the way that many do. He was a true professional throughout his entire time here, the 3 years. He was an excellent teammate. He was a hard worker. I have never heard anybody in this town talk about him in a negative light, other than his performance just wasn't good consistently enough for them to move forward with him when they had the ability to select another quarterback who they felt had a higher ceiling first overall. Victim of circumstance and a victim of not being good enough consistently enough. And I've said it a million times, I'll say it a million and one. Dealt a bad hand, was not put in a great situation. But at the end of the day, you can be a victim of circumstance, and also you can be one of the reasons why the decision to move on from you is made. Like, it's not as if he didn't have his faults. You know, in the last 8 games of the season this year, where everyone talked about the great improvement that he made, and I saw improvement from Justin. I thought Justin was a better quarterback at the end of the season than he was at the beginning of the season. Thought he was a better quarterback this year than he was last year. You realize, though, I know you do, I'm saying in general, their offense had 3 games in the final 8 games where they virtually had no scoring drives, touchdown drives. Now, some could argue that the Cleveland game, they scored an offensive touchdown. It took 7 plays and 1 yard. They went scoreless basically the entirety of that game. They went scoreless without touchdowns against Minnesota and Green Bay. So where all this progress was made offensively, you still had 3 of your final 8 games where your offense did not account for a touchdown.
Do you know why that Cleveland game was such a Justin Fields nutshell game? Because
Joe Flacco threw for 212 against you in the fourth quarter.
Right. He was able to produce off the couch. But in a nutshell, in that microcosm, it was such a good representation of what Justin Fields is, because his one touchdown was spectacular. It was an incredible YouTube highlight of him spinning around and on the run, him throwing. It was Cole Kmet in the corner of the end zone.
Yes. And he got away from Myles Garrett, arguably the best pass rusher in the league.
Right. And then his 2 interceptions, I believe, weren't his fault
either.
No,
they were both Hail Mary passes, which no one would hold those against.
Right, right. So, again, 2 interceptions, not his fault. Dealt a bad hand. Only 1 touchdown, very short distance. No touchdown drives. Very little offensive production. the one touchdown was a spectacular highlight that people want to grab onto. But at the end of the day, there just isn't enough offense when he's your quarterback.
And you have access to the number one overall pick, and you can draft a guy who you think is better.
Right. So, like, again, even the negatives, I'll spin for him and say, those two interceptions, Darnell Mooney's got to catch that ball in the end zone on the Hail Mary. It ends up as an interception because it bounced off of him and ended in a Cleveland Browns. Didn't it end up in a Browns hand for a second interception?
Yes.
And so, like, those aren't his fault either. But they didn't score. You got to score against Cleveland. You got to score, and you've got to go on drives for that entire game.
I think, as you said, I mean, there are flashes. It was good. It wasn't good enough, consistently enough, to move forward when you have this asset at your disposal. It's really simple.
Where it turned for me, I was always a Fields fan. Some people find it hard to believe, whether they're new to the show or they just forgot where I was. When they drafted him 11th, I was so excited. I was so optimistic. I did not like Trubisky at all. I was out on Trubisky. I was out on Nagy. I hated the way they set up Fields in his first year. The second year, he made a lot out of what he wasn't dealt. I liked the way he ran and was very optimistic for the third year. So years one and two, I was so pro Justin Fields. When I walked into that first spring training and the OTAs and then the training camp, and you'll remember some of these shows, people say it's only training camp, Sylvie. It's only training camp. The antenna went up when we watched without pass rush him holding the ball and holding the ball and holding the ball and not throwing the ball. And we'd sit back there and go, sack. That's another sack. And it came against the second team defense. And I would talk to some people up in that building and I'd say, is that the way it was supposed to look? And they said to me, no, the ball's supposed to be out. I go, that's second team defense. And they said, we know. So I'd go back for another practice, holding the ball, holding the ball. And then there'd be one splash play to DJ Moore downfield. Sort of, again, a microcosm of what the season was. Lock in on DJ, but when it came to the offense and getting the ball out the right way, it wouldn't happen. So my antenna was up going into the season. And then against the Packers. And then against Tampa. And then against nothing against Kansas City. And then, wait, where's the step? Where's the offensive step? And there were every now and then there'd be splash plays. And then, like you said, at the end of the season, there'd be some growth, but then not a lot of touchdown drives. And to me, it wasn't good enough when you had the first overall pick staring in the face. We could all fall in love with the highlights. But to me, I want one of those quarterbacks who can do it from the pocket and go up and down the football field and make magic happen with his arm. You know, and be a dual threat. Like, I love dual threat quarterbacks, but what comes first on a dual threat? The arm.
Yeah.
That's the job description. And he just,
Steve Young was the one that's, you know, spoke to us, I thought, in the most, you know, memorable way. He said, look, I think Steve actually told us that had he continued to play the way he was playing in Tampa, he would have never made it. He would have been out of the league quickly. But Bill Walsh, when he got to San Francisco, said, look, this is great. We'll use this part of what you do. But unless you can function at a high level from the pocket as well, you're never going to get to where you need to go.
And our narrative, like people call them narratives, like I always call them opinions. Our narrative or opinion was always we wanted him to go out and wow polls and us and everyone so you didn't have to draft a quarterback.
Right.
Make it obvious. And if any, there's not one person who ever could say it was obvious that he was the next guy. Anyone who did believe in him, it would be, well, he didn't play well because of Getsy. He didn't play well because the Bears don't develop quarterbacks. He didn't play well, but will play well. It was nothing of what he did. It was all projections. He didn't give you enough to put your job on the line to bypass the number one overall pick.
Nope.
And to bank on a high salary going forward to say, I believe in Justin going forward. And to me, their hands were tied and they had to take a quarterback. And that's why this was an inevitable decision.
Not good enough, consistently enough for them to remain on the course they were on. It, to me, like I said, the evaluation process is probably very hard. The decision itself is not. The decision isn't. If you love the kid coming out in the draft, you draft him. If you're not sold on him, you can move forward with the guy you have and trade the pick. If you don't have a surefire thought that one of these guys in the draft is significantly better than the guy you have, then I'll buy the plan to stick with Justin for another year. But that's not how they felt up at Hallis Hall, and they gave us all of the signs that that's not how they felt. And I don't blame them because, again, you know, this is not the time and the place to tear him down, but it just wasn't, for the reasons I've mentioned over and over again, it wasn't good enough, consistently enough, to forego the opportunity to draft a quarterback with the first overall pick in a quarterback-rich draft. It just wasn't.
Yeah. As far as the compensation, and I know this is a sticking point for some, I never thought it would be a sixth. There was a time when I didn't believe it would be a fourth. The way it's been going in the last week or two, maybe a fourth was something that I'd be happy with. But at the start of this, it was a second-round pick or bust for me. I thought they would get a second-round pick. At the end of the day, though, you had to move on. You couldn't. This had to be solved. And the way I'm looking at it is if Caleb Williams or whoever they end up drafting, if it's Jaden Daniels or Drake May, I think it's going to be Caleb. But if it's not, whoever the next quarterback's going to be, if the next quarterback hits and is going to be great, no one will remember what they got for Justin. You know what you'll remember? You'll remember that Ryan Poles pulled off one of the greatest trades in Chicago sports history. You won't remember that it was a sixth or a fourth. You'll remember that you got your next quarterback who's great, and DJ Moore, and Tyreek Stevenson, and Darnell Wright, and next year's second-round pick from Carolina for CJ Stroud. Put it that way.
Yeah, I'm not.
You know what I mean?
Like, yeah, I do.
That's the trade that you'll remember.
Sure.
So if he doesn't hit, you're gonna bellyache because the quarterback wasn't acquired and you got nothing for Justin. But if the quarterback hits, this is going to be a footnote no matter what.
Won't matter what you got for Justin in return. And look, I don't necessarily feel this was Ryan Poles overplaying his hand. I think the market kind of spoke. They knew, the rest of the NFL knew, that the Bears were locked in on drafting a quarterback first overall. They knew what Justin's contract situation is. You got to decide in May whether or not to pick up the fifth-year option. You know that you do have to tweak your offense a little bit to highlight his skill set. I mean, this was just a more difficult trade than probably many thought to start with. I don't believe that this was him just settling on a sixth-round pick, a conditional six with the Steelers when he could have taken a three or a four, but he just wanted to do right by Justin.
Right.
I think that narrative is silly because Ryan Poles' first obligation is to the Chicago Bears, and I don't believe that Ryan Poles, who wants to do right by Justin, would pass up on a third or fourth-round pick if it was available with a different team and just send him to the Steelers for a conditional six because his people wanted him to go to the Steelers. I just don't think that's the way business is done. But I do believe that this is a good spot for Justin, and the fact that the Bears were able to facilitate a trade with the Pittsburgh Steelers is good. I think it works for Justin.
Yeah, yeah. What? Could they maybe have gotten like a guaranteed late fifth round pick? Maybe. But I don't, like, I'm with you. I don't think they could have gotten like a grand thing that they've turned down because they quote, like this quote, want to do right by Justin has really gotten a lot of play. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like I don't believe that they.
I think what they wanted to do was move him before you get to the draft or you get to mini camp, where you would find yourself in an environment where you have the first overall selection. It'd be a quarterback, and he's in camp with Justin in a mini camp. I don't think they wanted that. I wouldn't have wanted that. That's the thing that I'm most happy about in terms of, as a Bears fan, not reveling in anybody being traded. It's that I was vehemently against having both of them in camp at the same time, even for a mini camp. Yeah. I just didn't think it was good for anybody.
No, you got to move
on. Documented a thousand times. Not good for Justin, not good for the team, not good for Caleb Williams, not good for Ryan Poles, not good for anybody.
Not good for Eberflus to manage
nobody.
It. The
not
coordinator.
Not good for Shane Waldron. I mean,
installing a new offense.
Yes.
And then again, like, did the Bears hurt themselves because they told everyone they wanted to trade Justin?
I don't think so.
If the Bears told everyone they wanted to trade the number one overall pick today, would they have a line out the door of people calling them?
Absolutely.
Why?
Because it's valuable.
Okay. So they told everyone Justin was available.
Right.
Why didn't they get what they wanted?
Because he's not as valuable to the league as some people believed he would be.
They were trading a backup quarterback.
Right.
They get a six-round pick for a backup quarterback right now.
Right.
He's Russell Wilson's backup.
Yes.
And if he's not, they'll get a fourth-round pick for him. Like, all the overthinking about did they ruin their value because they told people. If Justin Fields was wanted by more than one team, they would have gotten more for him.
Of course they would.
He wasn't wanted. Nobody wanted to make him their plan to be their starting quarterback. The Bears or any other team, not now. If they did, they would have happily paid for him. But they didn't.
No.
It's just a fact. It was the Bears didn't hurt this. Maybe the Bears could have kept him for longer, and maybe if someone got hurt. But like Waddle and I both said, we didn't think that's good for the Bears. We didn't think that helps the Bears. Maybe it would have helped their draft stock. I don't think you win the war that way. You may have won the battle for the compensation. Again, if the next quarterback hits, the compensation for Justin is a footnote.
Yes.
All you care about is if your next quarterback is a star and you're winning games.
Now get it right.
Now you
draft the right guy and develop him. I believe that is Caleb Williams. Now they have the opportunity to develop him. And as I said earlier, if it is Caleb Williams, he is coming into an environment, I think, that is more advantageous than any other number one quarterback who has stepped into an environment as the number one overall selection going back to Andrew Luck. What Ryan Poles has done, and he's made mistakes, but if you look at what Ryan Poles has done from his first year to where they are now, it's not without blemishes, but it's a pretty good setup. They've made a lot of strides in a short period of time, and he talked to us about infrastructure. What was important that you learned from the Kansas City Chiefs experience with scouting Patrick Mahomes, drafting Patrick Mahomes, and developing Patrick Mahomes? And the word that I always kind of was clinging to when he said it was infrastructure. Think of the infrastructure you have right now for a young first overall pick quarterback. You've added your offensive line. I would still like to see them fortify your offensive line. Okay, but it's gotten better. You've got a combination of DJ Moore and Keenan Allen. You've got Cole Kmet and Gerald Everett. You've got a nice combination of different running backs. For a guy that's drafted first overall who normally goes to a three-win team, they're stepping into an environment that I think is set up pretty nicely for them going forward. I'm not guaranteeing you an NFC title. I'm not guaranteeing you a trip to the Super Bowl. What I am saying is the table is set for them to be above average. Now you got to develop.
Yeah, for the first time in a long time. All right, a lot there from Waddle and me on our thoughts on what happened over the weekend. Give us your thoughts. When you found the news, what was your first reaction? What was your biggest emotional reaction? You read on Twitter, you get a text from your buddy. Justin Fields traded for a conditional six-round pick. You thought what? And what is your emotion now on Justin Fields' era being over? It was short, 3 years, and now going forward, what are your thoughts? So you can address it from any angle you want. We are guest-free today. We're reacting like it's a game. Obviously, this is the move that we've been waiting for, and now we'll see. We think it's going to be Caleb Williams, but who knows? Again, like, we're not going to yell at you and say, this is what's going to happen, because no one really knows what's going to happen until it actually happens. So 312-332-3776. I did see one projection on a mock draft that could set the table even more for the next quarterback. I'll tell you about that coming up next.
Ah, commuting in Chicago. Ah. If you're stuck, stick with Waddle and Sylvie. Weekdays 2 to 6.
It just depends on what opportunities pop up. I will say this. I think you guys know me well enough now. I do, if we go down that road, I want to do right by Justin as well. No one wants to live in gray. I know that's uncomfortable. I wouldn't want to be in that situation either. So we'll gather the information. We'll move as quickly as possible. We're not going to be in a rush and see what presents itself and what's best for the organization.
I think we have to, everything he says, I think he says with a purpose. I think we know that now about Ryan Poles. He said that a year ago with the telegraphing the trade with Carolina, that the number one pick was, they were shopping it. Things could move quickly, and it did. I think, remember when he said what he said about Matt Eberflus at the trade deadline?
Yeah.
Like, it was over the top. And sure enough, Matt Eberflus was not getting fired. That's what he meant. And, like, I never heard him really rave about Justin Fields, and I always thought that that spoke volumes, too.
It was very telling.
And then, sure enough, at the combine, he was like, hey, this is the way we feel about Justin, and we got to do right by him if we go down that road. But what I also thought was telling was he never said, guys, if we decide to bring him back.
Yeah.
That's also part of this. He never said that. And so, like, to me, it was being ruled out that he would be brought back.
That's why I never understood why people were clinging so much to the thought that this was never... But guys, you're just being stupid and hard-headed. They were never going to trade. Okay, everyone's welcome to their opinion, but to get belligerent at somebody who feels differently with all of the bread, they weren't even breadcrumbs. They were loaves of bread that were laid out.
He doesn't keep national secrets like this.
No.
He tells you what's going on.
So my feeling as you ask the question, when I realized, my feeling was one of relief for everybody involved, selfishly for me.
Yes.
Because I have to be honest with you, I've been tired of it. I know that we've all joked upstairs about this is manna from heaven for sports talk, right? I've been tired of it.
Me
too. It's nonsense.
Do you know what
people don't treat each other with dignity and class and respect any longer about a simple sports item? I wanted this to come to a conclusion. And then outside of my own little selfish circle, I thought it was best for Justin to find direction for himself and for the team to move forward. Like, my feeling was one of relief for everybody involved.
Yeah, you know what I say to the people who say that this was great for, like, you know, columns or sports radio? Is winning is good for sports radio. Yes. I'm tired of the debating. And, like, the other stuff, there will be debates.
Sure.
I'm always open for debates. I'm ready for good quarterback play and winning football.
Yeah.
That will be good for... We haven't had that in forever.
No.
That's what this fan base needs. This fan base needs to be united right now. This fan base needs some wins. This fan base needs a true superstar quarterback. I'm not guaranteeing it with the next guy. I'm hopeful.
I think the GM, as I said before the break, has done a pretty damn good job pointing everything in the right direction so that this young quarterback will have the infrastructure here in 2024 that unfortunately Justin didn't have in 2021 or 2022. He had a little bit better infrastructure this past season, but his first 2 years here in Chicago, he had to go through two offensive coordinators, a complete teardown. It was not a sound infrastructure for him. This infrastructure, I got DJ Moore, I got Keenan Allen. I've got two accomplished tight ends. I've got an improving offensive line.
The running back room.
I've got a running back room that I like. And I've got an offensive coordinator that has experience calling plays.
What about Odunze? Because Brad Biggs, this is what I hinted at. Brad Biggs today, in his mock draft, I think this was the second mock he did, he still has, and he did it with trades, because we were wondering, would the Chargers take a running back? I believe he's got the Chargers making a trade with the Vikings. So the Vikings trade up to get a quarterback. He has the Chargers trading out of their pick, and he still has Odunze falling to number 9.
And if that's the case, I draft him.
And that's what he's got the Bears doing. Could you imagine that? A rookie quarterback getting DJ Moore, Keenan Allen, and Odunze at 9?
That is infrastructure that many that many would kill for. That's quite a setup for a first time.
Is that a home run offseason, boys?
1,000%, right? Like you've completely revamped your receiving room. You went into the season thinking your 2 and 3 receivers would be Tyler Scott and Velus Jones. Instead, it's going to be Keenan Allen and whoever you end up with in the draft, if you do draft a receiver at 9, alongside DJ Moore. To me, like that's about as perfect of an offseason as you could ask for.
There was a picture circulating on social media today. I don't know when it was from. It was from last offseason. It was at the Bulls game. Do you remember this? When it was Justin Fields, Chase Claypool, and Darnell Mooney in the Bulls suite holding up their Bulls uniforms. That was last offseason.
Yeah.
That was the hope. Justin Fields, Darnell Mooney, and Chase Claypool.
Well, that picture, though,
changed.
Also is a good reminder, too, as to why sometimes things on paper, you have to give it a little bit of time to play out. Like, I know we all, you know, it's fun to grade things, and we were all very upset on, what was it, Wednesday of last week? When Tuesday, you know, Danielle Hunter ends up going to the Texans. We're kind of like, you know, the photo of, you know, with the stick. Come on, do something to Ryan Poles. That's how we all felt. And a couple days later, he goes out and he trades for Keenan Allen. And while I'm excited about that, I will say, I know you guys hit on it a little bit on Friday, he's also 31 years old, going to be 32 this season, right? So
Sure. We
do need to slow our roll just a little bit. Also add a little bit of fire. Daniel Jeremiah, did you see his latest tweet from 4 hours ago? He said he wouldn't be shocked at all if Malik Nabers ends up being the first wide receiver off the board. He could see Marvin Harrison Jr. actually being on the board in the 5 or 6 range.
That would be shocking to me. So.
I'm still not going up to get him. I'm not moving up. If there's a receiver there at 9, I'm going to take him, but I'm not moving up.
And then I'd be happy to move down.
Yeah.
If that's the case. Derek and Carol Stream, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Derek?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Appreciate
you got it.
Got a few points I wanted to get through. I'll try to roll through them quickly, if I may.
Sure.
For all the people that are thinking we're not going to draft Caleb Williams, I'm almost 50 years old. I've been watching football 40-something years and paying attention to the draft for at least 30-something. I can count on one hand how many times all of the prognosticators are saying that one guy is the guy. So if you think we're going to take somebody other than him, you're not. And to the point of what was I thinking when I heard about the trade, I thought that's it. There's no way he's not as good as, you know, half of these guys that have been traded for what the compensation's done for them. And then lastly, my point is Black and Abdallah are Caleb Williams and Greeny's Justin Fields, and it's time for Ryan Poles, a.k.a. Danny Zutterman, to make the switch and drop them into the daytime spot and play Greeny at night.
Derek, thanks for all your thoughts.
Danny has a speaker up in his office. My guess is he heard that.
He hears everything.
He hears everything.
He hears all.
Yeah.
I
did say one thing that he referenced, and I agree with Carmen. And Carl, look, and I think it was Bigsy, and Bigsy gets everything right. But the thought that Desmond Ridder was more highly sought after or thought of around the league than Justin Fields, that I can't. That doesn't compute.
Well, just because he was traded for a 6th this year doesn't mean that in a year from now he's not going to be a starter.
Right.
Like, again, like, what was Baker Mayfield viewed as? Like, I still think that Justin Fields will be a starter in this league. I still, like, he wasn't the guy for this team anymore. But it doesn't mean he can't have a successful career. I have more hope for him than I did when I knew Mitch wasn't going to be good when the Bears let him go. I had no fear. But Justin, in the right circumstance, can be a team's.
He's got a skill set that is very unique, like Liam Neeson in Taken.
Oh, yeah?
He's got a set of skills that are very unique. Now,
he's got to put it together.
You've got to find the right situation, and he has to improve.
Yes.
Like, wherever he goes, he's going to have to improve on certain things in his game. It's not like you just go to Pittsburgh and Arthur Smith is just going to dial everything up that's going to be perfect for you. He still is a young quarterback that needs to improve on a lot of things. And if he makes those improvements, yeah, he'll be a starter in the league.
Yep. Al on the South Side, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Al?
You got it, guys. How you doing, man? I've been listening, and I like a lot of what you guys are saying, and I agree with it. But I do believe that Ryan Poles kind of overplayed his hand with that single comment. I think everybody knew that the Bears were moving on with the quarterback situation before any of this. So, in my opinion, I really, really, really do think that they should have had a competition of some sort if they weren't going to get anything. I think we just gave Justin Fields away for nothing, and I believe he has real values. And the fact that you even think, Sylvie, that he's going to be a starter in this league to get a sixth-round draft pick, I thought it was worth him sticking around and playing it out a lot bit longer than just giving him away for nothing and allowing the Pittsburgh Steelers to wade in the weeds and come away with a potential starting quarterback for nothing.
Look, if he does well in Pittsburgh, then the Bears get a fourth. And if Caleb Williams does well here, we're happy. And then to me, it's a win-win. Like that's not what's the big deal there.
Again, I don't think that Ryan Poles really mismanaged this situation at all. I think the league spoke, and what they were saying was we view Justin at this moment as a backup.
Let's play this out. He gets the microphone at that press conference and he says, "Can't touch him. We're keeping Justin Fields. We like him." You think the phone's ringing for Justin? Or do you think, like, if he's making calls behind the scenes, now all of a sudden the offers are better?
I think you're either interested in Justin Fields or you're not.
I don't understand.
Anything the general manager says changes your opinion of him.
How is the hand overplayed by what he said publicly?
I'm not one that believes that. I believe the market was the market. And I don't believe the thought that Ryan Poles, just because he wanted to do right by Justin, which I think he did because Ryan Poles does things in a very professional manner and Justin comported himself in a very professional way, I don't believe in any way, shape, or form that Ryan Poles took a sixth-round conditional pick in 2025 from the Steelers instead of, just hypothetically, a late third-round pick from the Cleveland Browns or somebody. I don't believe that's the case. I think that anybody that would suggest that you're in football fantasy land.
We will grade all the Poles trades because there are a couple things that do sit in my craw.
Of course.
And like, he's not perfect, believe me. 312-332-3776. That's the phone number. That's coming up at 4. Your reaction to when the deal was made over the weekend. We're talking about it. Justin Fields, a member of the Steelers, and the Bears are on the clock.
Follow Chicago's Home for Sports on Instagram at ESPN_Chicago. This is Waddle and Sylvie. Listen now in HD on our app and on ESPN 1000.
We go from John to Jim in Crystal Lake. You're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Jim?
I don't believe those facts.
You guys, I'm still on hold. You guys had me on here. I talked already.
Okay, thank you, Jim. Appreciate you. We go to Bear Fan Brian in Twin Cities. You're on ESPN 1000.
Hello, hey, Bob. Good morning, guys. Yeah, I really enjoy your show, and Carmen and the other one with Sylvie, too. Really, really good radio these days.
Those were two weird callers back to back. I love Bear Fan Bob. I don't know. What was he saying about Carmen and the other one with Sylvie? Was he calling Yurko the other one or calling you the other one?
I don't know. Bear Fan Bob. I've seen him at different events. I think he's a big fan of Tom Thayer's as well.
Yes, he is.
Yeah.
Now, did you play a cuckoo at the end there?
No, that's the music bed.
Oh, that one. Because you know what's weird about that is, do you know what Bear Fan Bob does for a living?
Is he a taxidermist?
Makes clocks.
He works on clocks.
Oh, that's
clock
right.
Makes them,
yes,
right?
That is correct.
You know me. I know what all of our listeners do. I keep tabs on all of them.
What does Eddie on the north side do?
He fixes garages.
Well done, yes.
Chase is an Uber driver.
That is correct.
Yes. I am like the Santa Claus of our listeners. I've got a list. I'm checking it twice, making sure if they're naughty or nice.
How many of them have actually been nice over the course of this last 4 or 5 months?
Chase is very nice. Bear Fan Bob is very nice. Yeah. He usually checks in.
There's some naughty ones. There's some, there's some with some pretty sour attitudes.
I see big C's on the line here. Is he usually nice? Or he's usually, sometimes he's on a bad phone. Should we take him?
Sometimes he calls like two or three times in a week or so, and then he's gone for a while.
He'll ghost us, yes.
But he's back. I think this is his I told you so.
Oh, you think so?
Yeah.
Do you have us on speaker, Big C?
No, sir.
Okay, good.
That sounds like that's as clear a line as we've heard.
Yes, that's as good as I've ever heard you.
Man, 2 years ago, man, time goes on, don't it?
Yeah, it does. You're still not pushing Bo Nix on us, are you?
Nah, but I'll send Bo Nix to the Packers or somebody.
All right. Well, the Packers don't need Bo Nix, but okay.
He's good right now, but man, time to pay the piper, man.
Who's the piper?
Hey, Big C be right. Man, it's time. Hey, I hope y'all got insurance on them jerseys, man. Put all my people out here.
Insurance on those jersey insurance. That's actually a good business.
Yes.
That's a good business.
Hey, man. Hey, I was just checking in on y'all, man.
That was it?
That's
all you got?
Hey, man.
It says here, Big C, that you wanted to call to tell us that you were right on Fields.
Hey, he already said that.
Hey, someone right with that guy, man.
All right, Big C. Hey,
anything else?
Just look at the freaking out reads, man. You look at any other quarterback. Like when Bajan came in, Bajan was doing rabbit ears, all type of stuff. Fields would just sit back there like he was lost, man. And he's a backup.
All right, his phone can never be good. His phone's never good.
Thanks for the call, Big C.
And so jersey insurance would be, I think some people do this.
Fanatics does that.
Do they?
I believe, yeah.
Like what is the policy? Do you pay extra?
I want to say American Express did that. They ran a commercial thing where guys would have their jerseys would arrive in the mail. And then you'd hear some announcer in the background go, and this player has been traded. And then they look down at their jersey. I think it was American Express that ran that, too.
I like that policy. I like it. And then, if they get traded or injured within 2 years, you should be able to exchange it. Like, you take out a policy on it, though. You got to pay a premium, right?
Probably so.
10% more?
I think it's great, though. It's a great idea.
Banks.
Hello.
Banks in Hyde Park.
Hello.
You're on ESPN 1000. Make sure that radio's down, Banks.
It's down, man.
All right. There you go.
People talking in the car. Anyway, first off, when I first heard the news, it was kind of like the big welp moment. Because I was just turning on Madden, getting ready to do work with Justin. And then I see that. Not a big fan of the decision, but I'm a Bears fan. I mean, we've had terrible years. I've trusted Poles through all this because I don't have his phone number and I have no choice but to just watch and trust. So hopefully Caleb is the guy that they say he is. But, I think we could have got better. I really think we could have done better in return. So,
How would you have done better in the trade?
Well, first off, I would not have wanted to be in his seat. That was a tough decision to make. I know you guys didn't like the idea of having them both. If I'm going to have them both, I got to just make that work. You got to be competitive, but now you're in a position where you're waiting to see if this is even the right choice.
But it's not a competition. You know that. If you're drafting someone first overall and you've been trying to trade the other guy, that competition is non-existent. It's not a competition.
Not a competition. Yeah. Well, then I'll leave you with this. I just see all the moves being made to make the team competitive.
Yeah.
You had a guy here that actually wanted to embrace being the Bears quarterback. Wasn't shying away from the challenge. And you didn't develop him. So how can you say you're doing the best for him when you get him trashed for the time that he's here, including the coaching? And then as soon as you get a chance to move on, now you're making powerful moves to make the team better.
Yeah, you're right. Look, Justin was – it's not – we know this in sports and in a lot of things in life. It's not fair sometimes. He was –
The timeline wasn't fair to Justin Fields.
The infrastructure is markedly better for Caleb Williams than it was for Justin at any point. That's just reality.
But
time and place is always a factor, and it just, this wasn't the time or place for Justin, unfortunately. He was a victim of circumstance in a lot of ways. He was also somebody that needed to play better at
times. And he could have wowed.
And that's the element that I think some people fail to mention. Like, I hear a lot of people say, it was the coordinator, it was the receivers, it was the line, it was the, yeah, all of that can be true. But so can the fact that the quarterback didn't play as well as you needed him to play for him to maintain his spot as the starter on this team.
There are a couple of examples of guys who weren't Poles' guy who did rise to the challenge that I could give you coming up next, too. And then we'll go through all of Poles' trades. What grade would you give Poles on this trade? And this is a man who loves to make trades. Good and bad. And they're littered both sides of the ledger. We will grade all of Ryan Poles' trades since he's been here in the short time. This is only his third off season. We'll go through them all coming up next.